chapter to Mark's Gospel once again. This time, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This morning, we answered the question, why did Christ come? This afternoon, how has Christ done? Why did Christ come? To seek and to save that which is lost. You remember the vicarious, the valuable and the vast sacrifice. That is the results, the vast results of His sacrifice. How has Christ done? It was partly answered in naming some of the souls, some of the people that were saved. There's an interesting statement in this reading that I want us to focus on. But we'll begin with verse 24 of Mark chapter 7. And from thence he arose and went into the waters of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. That's a special statement, isn't it, about the Lord? He cannot be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. The Lord God, our Father, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his grade of the Lord Jesus with a statement that we read few times in the Bible, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is heaven's acknowledgement of how Christ's work has been done. But I'd like us to look at the earthward side, Mark 7:37, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. A most thorough summary in a most brief statement. In other words, that statement, he hath done all things well, is like saying he has had an excellent grade. Superb, extraordinary, splendid. Jesus' report card, as it were, thus far and certainly forever. He hath done all things well. I'd like us just to think upon that statement and the truth contained about the summary of and the evaluation of Christ's work thus far, and again, like we saw a sample of his perfect life in that one incident when he was 12, any point of his life when you took a picture or a video, it would say the same thing. Sinlessness, love, perfection, success, a saving work. And this statement has always blessed me when I have read it. He hath done all things well. Three simple thoughts. Christ's work, first of all, is case-tested. Case-tested. Notice what it says. He hath done some things well. You and I may be able to do something well, maybe a few things well, but we fail. You may be doing something well. You might be a good... you might do cleaning well, or you might run a machine well, or you might cook well. But everybody has their burned toast. Everybody has their bloody finger. And everybody has their broken parts. And we all fail at even the things that we may do well. But the Lord Jesus, it says, did all things well. And they gave a sampling. Remember, it says, both the deaf hear and the dumb to speak. But the Lord Jesus gives another list a little bit later. But every realm that Jesus worked in, He did all things well. Whether it be a biological realm, a nautical, a chemical, a congenital, a spiritual, a mental, He did all things well. And you see that He does miracles in every conceivable realm. He did work upon the blind, the deaf, those who were afraid, those who were dumb, speechless, invalids, those who were deformed, those who had fevers, those who were dying, those who no doubt had malignant tumors, those who were endangered, those who were lost, those who were dead. He did all things well. His work was case tested. You know, our doctors are faced with all kinds of cases, but you have specialists. They just can't, there's no way that they can do all things well. And even our practitioners, even our general practitioners, don't get all things right and miss things that they should be able to find. As we've heard of people who've had fevers and sicknesses for weeks and no one could discover it, and all of a sudden you heard of someone recently that was having dizzy spells and they found an inoperable tumor on the stem of their brain, and they were given a short time to live. Jesus, when He was approached or approached anyone, knew exactly what the situation called for, and He was up to the task. So whether something occurred by transmission, by disaster, by accident, by danger, by disease, by something natural or unnatural, Jesus did all things well. And that's something for us to really appreciate and have confidence in. We have confidence that Jesus' work is case-tested. There's not a case in this room or cases in this room that cannot be brought to Jesus. Oh, you might say, well, I have a broken tooth. I need to take that to the dentist. But nonetheless, you should pray that the dentist will be successful, because he may not be. And we know that we've been to specialists that have not been successful at what they've done. We should pray about everything to the Lord. He's the one that holds the dentist's hand, and the surgeon's hand. He's the one that has the mouth of the counselor. under His control. You see, especially sinners are saved and changed into saints. We might say that might be the hardest case for anyone. How can a sinner, how can the leopard change its spots? How can the Ethiopian change his skin? By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can change a leopard's spots, and He can turn our skin from white to red to black to any color He desires it to turn. How can a blasphemer, those who are injurious and vile, be changed? Jesus can do all things well. There's not a case that cannot be brought before Him that He does not recognize or that He is unable to deal with. With Jesus, there's a before and after. Without Jesus, there is a before and there is no after. You remain the same. Isn't it wonderful to have a before and an after as believers? So His work was case tested, all things. So what is your case today? Is it sin? You're unsaved? You're not a Christian? He can save you. Is it anxiety? He can take your worries. You can cause them to be absorbed in Him. Cast them at His feet. Is it unbelief? Is it coldness? What is it? What's your case? Even if it's sickness, if it's physical, the Lord can heal. The Lord can help. The Lord can use these situations to mold us, to make us more like Himself. His work was case tested. But then it says He had done all things well. Notice, it's one thing to say I'm a jack of all trades and I can tackle anything. Well, can they? How well can they do all things? Some people can do some things well, or one thing well. And some may boast, I can do a lot of things well. Well, I think I'd have to look and see that they'd have to do a lot of studying to do all things well. And even so, can they give themselves an A-plus grade over everything that they've ever done? This is an A-plus grade. He hath done all things well. The word is good. It's translated earlier in this chapter, full well. Although the full isn't really there, but that's the idea here. He hath done all things fully well. It's used in 1 Timothy about an elder managing his household well. In James, if we love our neighbors ourselves, we do well. Believers, those who believe that there is one God, do well. We may do some things well, but again, with much failure. So Jesus was not only case-tested, He was cure-tested, is the point. It's one thing to have a lot of cases brought to you, but what about the cures? You may be able to diagnose something, but can you solve the diagnosis? You see, they said the deaf causes to hear. The wording is to be hearing. They're now hearing. He's cured them, and they're tested right now. They may have been healed last month, but they're still healed. They're still hearing. They began to hear. They continue to hear. It's cure tested. The deaf hear. The blind are seeing. Now, Jesus, you remember when John the Baptist just wanted a confirmation that He was the Messiah, what did Jesus say? The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dumb are speaking, the dead are rising, the lame are walking about. The lepers are cleansed. They're clean. They didn't revert back to leprosy. The poor are evangelized. And that was the worst case of all. It's the last one in that list in Matthew chapter 11. The poor are evangelized. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say the poor are enriched. He's certainly able to supply the needs of anyone financially. But the worst case of all, the cure that's needed the most is forgiveness of sins. And you know what's interesting about Mark? Now that's why one of the reasons why I chose this, and this is the only place where that particular statement is made, but it's interesting that it's made by the same writer who reveals two interesting ways in which Jesus healed people. Well, we considered the first one. He put his finger into the man's ears and spit and put it on his tongue. Anyone else's spittle, I would not appreciate on my tongue if they took their spittle. But this was the spittle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he reveals an unusual way. You say, why? Why didn't he just speak the word? Why didn't he use another way, another means? But then there's another one that's in the next chapter. Remember this one? It seems like he failed. It seemed like the first try was halfway. And so people will come to this passage and say, Jesus did fail. He had to do it again. Well, we read in chapter 8 of Mark, that he saw a blind man, remember? Verse 22, they brought a blind man and asked the Lord to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And so people will ridicule here and say Jesus failed in his first attempt. May I say, there was success. He succeeded. He says, I see. So in the first place, he did say he saw. Now it was a little bit blurry, perhaps. But who says that Jesus has to heal someone immediately to heal them? If they're healed, what does it matter if he takes two or three steps to do it? Do we complain that our doctor gives us medicine that needs 7 days for it something to completely heal? Do we say they failed because it takes 7 days of taking medicine? Does not Jesus have the right to heal someone gradually and not immediately? How can we stand in judgment on the Son of God? And you know, sometimes we think that something should be healed immediately. Something should be taken care of right away, when the Lord gradually works on us so that we might continue to pray. What if He healed us and dealt with our situations immediately every time? We would expect immediate remedies. And we would not pray. Thank God when He makes us pray and 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 pray. And why do we look at the Lord and try to find fault? Perhaps the man's faith, and this is what Matthew Henry said, was at first weak, and the Lord meant to reveal it to him. Do you really believe that I can do this? Okay, I'll let you see a little dimly. I'll let you see men as trees walking. And then We don't know what was said. We don't have all the words. But the Lord knew the man's heart. Do you believe that I can do this? I do, Lord. I want to see clearly. And so he works again. Thank the Lord. The man was touched twice by our Savior. Isn't that wonderful to be touched by the Savior? And this man got to be touched twice by the Savior. And is this not applicable? Cannot God work providentially in many varied ways? Sometimes he told Israel, march and go head on with the arm with the enemy. Sometimes he had them circle around behind them. Or wait for the trees to rustle. Or sometimes he just had them sing, and he sent missiles from heaven, snow missiles. What are they called? Hail from heaven. Jesus did not fail. He has a right to heal in the way he wants to heal. We should be thankful if the Lord is working on us gradually. You know, sometimes to do something quickly is dangerous. You need gradual recuperation. You know, the people that were starved during the war, the POWs, you heard, sometimes they gorged and people gave them all kinds of food at first and they died. They couldn't handle. The system couldn't handle the immediate inundation of food and drink. No, you've got to give it to them gradually so that their systems can get used to it. And so we ask, Lord, take this away. If He takes it away, maybe we take the blessing and run with it, and we take the glory to ourselves. I did it my way. Jesus' work was cure tested. You could interview all these people that got healed and they were saved. Now, we all know that gradually, eventually, the blind man may have gotten blind 5, 10, 20 years later. He had to die. He got old. That doesn't mean there was any failure. But for the time being, he was cured as long as the Lord wanted him. Moses was able to see the same as a young man up until his death. I'd like to see that. I can't believe my mother-in-law. Hope she's not listening. She is a grandmother. She's a great grandmother. But she, I don't even think she uses eyeglasses. She passed her driver's test without glasses. It's 80 years old. I can't even read the. I gotta make sure my glasses are off for a couple hours before I can read five lines. He was cure tested. He hath done all things well. Now the one thing that we don't revert back to is salvation. The Lord may heal us of a disease, of cancer, or of some particular ailment, but we're going to get something again, and many other things on top of it if we live long enough. You know, if we live long enough, we're going to get sick. If we live long enough, we're going to die. It isn't negative, pessimistic news, is it? You want to live long? It's a blessing, but that means you got to go to the doctor and you got to deal with things more often. Jesus' work was case tested. He did all things, and it was cure tested. He did all things well. But what's the third thing? Jesus' work was clock tested. He hath done. Interesting statement. He hath done all things case tested, well, cure tested. He hath done. It's an interesting tense in the Greek. It's called a perfect tense, but it means the idea is he did something then and the results continue. in time. It's not saying He does all things well, which is true, or He did all things well, which is also true. But this is saying, nor is it saying He shall do all things well, which is, again, true. He has done. Not the same as He did. So it's the idea is a video of watching the Lord work at the outset, and then you're watching the results continue. Now again, you get an interview with a guy a year later, but the point is you're watching and he's continuing in that state. Let's see if they remain so, in other words. So a true Christian will always be a Christian. It's clock tested. If the Lord has caused you and me to be born again, it's clock tested. I believe the Lord changed me in 1978. You know, it's one thing scary, but another thing comforting. How many years is that? 78 till now. I can't do the math right now. 42 years. That's a long time to lose my salvation, if I could. I had many opportunities to do it. How many times have I sinned against the Lord and sinned against my wife? If we could, we would have. But His work is clock tested. We're once a Christian, a true Christian, always a true Christian. Once a true believer, always a true believer. He that believeth in Christ hath everlasting life. No one, no man shall pluck me. Not even you or me. We're one man. 1 John talks about the assurance of salvation. He that has been born again. It's the same tense. Cannot be unborn. You know, if I'm born physically, I can't be. Try as I might, I've been born. I'm alive. 628, 60. You can't change that. I can't go back into my mother's womb. I can't be unborn. And the Bible teaches the same spiritually. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you cannot become unborn. Physical birth is permanent. Spiritual birth is permanent. Now you say, what if they were a believer and now they're not? What does John say? They went out from us because they were not of us. They were never converted if they've gone out. Now they may be backslidden. They may be away for a while. You might have said, Peter, you're lost. For that period of time that he denied the Lord. Some people have been away from public worship for a while, for instance. You say, what shows a person that he might not, you know, if he's a Christian, that he's showing that maybe he's not? Well, we would say someone that stopped reading their Bible, someone that stopped public worship, someone that may even say that they might not be converted. If they're converted, it won't change. You say, well, what's going to happen to someone who walks away from the Lord and walks away from the visible church for a while? Well, if they're truly converted, they'll come back. Or the Lord will take them. That's what we all understand. The Lord takes people so that they don't smear their lives and smear their testimony any longer. And you and I are afraid of that. We ought to be. He chastens unto death. And the Bible talked about those in Corinth who didn't necessarily walk away from the Lord, but they treated with contempt something very sacred, the Lord's Supper. And the Lord said, the Lord took some of them away, caused them to sleep in death. I think we all, if we've all been saved long enough, there have been times we've been away from the Lord, and you can be in church and away from the Lord. You can have a cold heart in a pew, can't we? But have there been times? I remember specifically after being saved as a freshman at West Virginia University, it was November that I was converted. And I believe it was the beginning of the year when I came back that my heart got cold and I started to go with unsaved people. I started to hang with the wrong... But I knew the whole time that my speech betrayeth me, as it were, that I ought not to be here. It was nagging me the whole time. I knew I was the Lord's. And He was going to deal with me sooner or later. And thankfully dealt with me sooner. And you know what the Lord used? A godly man coming to rescue me. I'm sitting around a table in my dorm room, at the Towers dorm, sixth floor. Knock on the door while I'm doing things I shouldn't at the table. Come on in! Thought it was another one of the jolly old lost friends that I wanted to interact with. And here comes Jim Fyrer. You talk about looks that kill, not meanness, but shock and disappointment. You know, it's like, I think of it when the Lord turned after Peter denied Him the third time and He looked and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You and I know what that look is, don't we? That's the look of Brother Jim. His whole countenance dropped. So sad, he turns around, doesn't say a word, and just goes out, shuts the door softly. The Lord used that. I got to get right with Him. And it wasn't just a few days, and I was back with my brothers at church. I missed public worship for probably 2 weeks. But I knew it the whole time. And you and I know that. If you're a true believer and you're cold or you're away from the Lord, you know it. You know the Lord is your Savior because the Spirit of God indwells us. And He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. The Bible says if you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. Do you have that nagging, the sense of the grieving Holy Spirit within you and me when we're with the wrong crowd, when we have the wrong attitude? We're thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' work indeed is clock tested as well. The new birth is permanent. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are saved. Same word, same idea. We've been saved at a point in time and we continue in the state of being saved. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul. He was converted on the road to Damascus, but watch his life. You think somebody who's never been converted would endure what he did? Paul near Damascus getting converted. Then see he goes to Tarsus, his hometown. Don't you think there was something in... Why did they send him to Tarsus? Simply because he knew the culture? Well, yeah, that was part of it. But don't you think there was a little test going on among the disciples? How are you going to do with your relatives, Paul? Let's see if he's genuine. Can you and I go back to our homes, our parents, our siblings, and tell them about Jesus? Then see him in Jerusalem, the capital city, being willing to preach even to his mentors. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. See Paul in the sea, worried about sharks. How many people have been in that situation? If this is what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it. Remember John Bunyan and the characters? Who was it? Pliable? That was enough for him. The slough of despond. Paul in prison. Paul getting beaten with rods. Paul being whipped. Paul being stoned. An unconverted Christian would have been long gone, but see him continue to preach the gospel. And now see Paul in heaven. Was it not worth it all? Paul agrees that Jesus' work is case-tested, cure-tested, and clock-tested. If they go out, they never were in. If they're in, they won't go out, at least permanently. The saved will persevere to the end. No one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What great assurance. And assurance is an aspect of salvation. You don't need it to get to heaven, but it sure is helpful to know you're going there. So let's focus on Jesus' work. This morning we considered, why did Christ come? Close this Sabbath afternoon. How has Christ done? He hath done all things well. His work is case-tested, cure-tested, and clock-tested. He is trustworthy. Let us love Him all the more. And let that be a motivation for our faithfulness, not to tempt Him to prove His work in us, but that we might show forth that His work is indeed, He has done all things well. Let's pray.